The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Oh!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. We're dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I'm going to apologize in advance. You'll hear a little bit of noise. There's construction in my building. You'll hear like, I just want you to know I'm not sitting on a vibrator. It's in the building. They're doing some type of work and it vibrates through the entire, all the cement columns of the building. So if you hear it, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about it. Corey Sandhagen coming back on the show has a huge fight coming up against Marlon Vera, which is going to be a great fight. And I am, and we also have Jesus Trejo, who's a comedian. He's LA based. I don't know him, but I always like talking to new comics, guys who I don't know.
And I like that song, Jesus. I like, oh, isn't that a song from the Beatles? Jesus. Jimmy, I'm ready for your comedy special. I can't wait to open up. They're going to be like, boah! Anyway, Jimmy, go ahead. That's not
just so you know, dude, how amazing is this coming up on Saturday night? Andrade is now fighting Erin Blanchfield, and she took this on a week's notice. How exciting is this fight?
Well, Erin Blanchfield took it. Andrade.
Andrade took it, yeah.
Yeah, but again, man, that's a different fight for
I know.
Erin, and I think she's going to be up for it, man. This is going to be huge. Yep. She's going to, but I'll tell you, you're talking about one person of maybe with Andrade of maybe, I think maybe one of only two people who got this. You got to check this. I want you, Jake the Mighty Ginger, to check the record for this. How many people finished with a standing arm triangle? And I believe Andrade's one of maybe two people who've done it, where they literally did a head and arm choke, also known as the head and arm triangle. And they did that standing up on a girl.
Against Amanda Lemos, yeah.
Say again?
Against Amanda Lemos, she did that.
Oh, yeah, man. Shoot.
By the way, her last fight, it was amazing that wasn't stopped against Laura Murphy, but she was as good as I've ever seen her.
Jimmy, just so you know, she is the, I typed it. Now I don't have it. What the fuck did he just say? Where is
that? Was the only one. Only standing arm triangle. Wow.
Oh, the only standing arm choke submission in UFC history. There you go. Well, listen, man.
And how tall, sorry to interrupt you, but how tall is Lemos? I would have thought that a taller person would have to do that on somebody shorter. And Jessica's not particularly tall. She's like a tank. Or is that wrong? Would a shorter person have a better chance of doing that on somebody taller?
Well, listen, the floor are all the same size.
But standing.
I know what you're saying. That could be. But the way she had her up against the cage and she had such a grip.
Yeah.
She was like a pit bull on that thing, you know? Jimmy, speaking of size, I can't get over Volkanovski. I just can't. I mean, even though I feel like Islam won that fight.
He did,
At the end of the night, like, I can't stop thinking about Volkanovski, how he was just fucking, how it ended with him in his back, in his home, like, in his own country. And and on top of him just throwing bombs. It's pretty wild, man.
And the way he was punching back, and like he was punching behind him, he was very, very active on when he was attempting to be strangled. And I could not believe how confident he looked and how confident he fought. He did have a hard time closing the distance a little bit. Like, I think that really did hurt him ultimately. But man, you're right, Matt. He was so impressive. Both of those guys are more impressive to me now than they were before. The fact that Makhachev was able to stick it out and win that fight and have that fourth round was also incredibly impressive.
It makes a lot of people. I'm going to want to see the odds if Islam Makhachev has to fight Beneil Dariush next, because Beneil is a very good jiu-jitsu player. And if this fight showed you one thing, everybody who went to the floor with Islam was getting fucking hammered.
Yeah.
Knitted, choked out, Kimura'd. Volkanovski is doing the shaka.
Yeah.
That's shaka? What is that? Hang loose. What is that?
Oh, I don't.
I've been doing
the Hawaiian thing, right? Isn't that what BJ would do?
You know what I heard from you when he's like doing the shaka? Shaka, I heard. Yes. Yeah. And then you look at me.
No, I'll tell you why.
You're not looking at me when I'm telling you yesing me to death.
No. I recognized I was looking as we were talking.
Jimmy, I'm not going to be ignored.
No. Here's what I was doing. I'll tell you what I was doing. I was realizing I didn't have Cody Sanhagen's. I always like to have the page open when the guys come on, and I realized I neglected to do that. So as we're chatting.
Jesus Christ.
I keep calling him Cody. I keep thinking of Cody Stamen. What a fucking dude. Did I tell you I had a mental block? This is the second time I had a mental block. I had one with Gustafson. I told you that on Monday. I was on a podcast, and I, even after the name was said, I couldn't. And now it's Corey Sanhagen, who I know. I've been calling him fucking Cody all day. I'm really annoyed with myself.
Oh, that Cody and Corey. That's like one time with Longo. I got this, my friend Craig. And I go, dude, Drago's calling him Greg the whole time. He goes, same thing. I go, Longo, it's a different name.
Yeah, it's a different name, yeah.
I go, Longo, and I think he just likes to be like a bad kid. He's like, same thing. It's not the same thing.
I still don't like doing it. Like,
Jimmy.
Yes, Greg. Yeah.
The other day, this guy, Taylor, sent it over a couple of his guys. The other guy that works for him is Brendan. The other guy's name is Danny. These guys, I told you about the mess at my school. About the water that broke, the water it froze and it blew, and I didn't have the right insurance and all that shit, right? So I thought and then all of a sudden everybody's getting hot, everybody's getting cold showers, so the fucking water heater fucking zonked out. So I'm thinking, on top of what I gotta fucking pay for the academy, for the repairs, which is a circus, I get hit with another 10 grand, so I gotta get a new fucking water heater. Jimmy, you know I'm a happy guy.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy.
Wow.
I was miserable. And then these guys, they come over, they look at it, the fucking water heat is okay. It was a piece. So instead of 10 G's, I have to spend a few hundred dollars.
Oh, that's great.
I just went back and forth to Brooklyn and they had to get a piece for me. So when I met them, it's funny, Jimmy, the two guys that were out there, was it Taylor and Danny, I think? And listen, so the guy goes, and they looked a little like, I could tell maybe they watched the fights. And my friend Joan, who set this up, he's one of my brown belts. He said that they were like fans, you know. But I didn't know how much. So Jimmy, so I'm over there and I'm like, guys, man, thank you. Come follow me inside. You're getting T-shirts. I appreciate you guys. You know, because I'm saving. I thought I'd just spend 10 G's. So then they go, look, when we heard you on Unfiltered, on the podcast, when we heard you on your podcast, complaining about what happened, we didn't think we'd be the guys coming over to fix the fucking the water heater. So I go, guys, two T-shirts. Oh man, they were so happy.
Then you tipped them a couple hundred bucks, right?
Well, I gave them a little bit of it. They didn't want to. How about this? They didn't want to accept the money.
They always say no, but they always want it.
Of course they do. I know. You know, listen, I'm a moral with certain things, but I know shit like that. And I'm like, oh, fine. Put it back in my pocket. So I gave them even more than what they deserve.
I've only had that once or twice where I've listened to them when they say no. Like, I've had someone go, no, Mr. Norton, please. And I forget how and he goes, no, please, don't insult me. And I was like, oh, okay, he actually does it. I think he was doing a favor for someone, and he felt by taking a tip it would be whatever. But when he said don't insult me and really refused it, I was like, okay.
Yeah, you know what? I do the same thing for these guys that drive me and my family to the airport. They're friends with my these former cops that got one of the cachet luxury. It's on my Instagram. These guys are great though, because they pick me up in these fucking hollowed out fucking, what are they, stingers? What are they called? Not stingers. What's the big trucks? The big party? No.
Oh, I know what you mean. Ford Bronco. Like the big truck, a Jeep Cherokee. Guy who's a bad guesser.
Like a Sprinter or something. I guess like a hollowed out
Sprinter van. Yeah.
Sprinter van. Thank you, Jake. You're fucking Jimmy. You could be a bully. Jimmy.
What?
Buddy? Did you, Jimmy?
What?
Did you? I shouldn't get this excited about this. And another grown man, as a guy who's approaching 50, after what's going to come out of my mouth, you might lose a little respect. Because the way I got so excited, you might be thinking it's like a major. What would you be thinking of? I'm getting excited to tell you about something.
Here's what I think.
What would a normal 48-year-old get excited about?
Did you see that Volkanovski is still number one pound for pound, even after losing to Makhachev? I thought that's what you were going to say, honestly, because I'm shocked at that.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily agree with that either.
We're going to get back to what I was just talking about in a second. Almost in certain worlds, it's more important, but not in this. This is more of an MMA themed pop culture and stuff's after. MMA is more what's themed about. He really is. Wait, so he's still considered the best pound for pound?
And I guess.
Is he really? Is that right?
I don't know how. I mean, look, he's a great champion and he went up in weight. And Makhachev did go the distance, but Makhachev has finished some fucking murderers. I mean, Islam has finished some really, really devastating fighters. I don't think I agree with that. I also don't think Alex Pereira, even though he did beat one of the greatest fighters ever in Israel Adesanya, I don't necessarily put him above Aljamain. I don't put him as pound for pound guy. I don't put him above Oliveira.
Well, look, once it starts getting to this one against that one, this one and who's higher than I get, it gets weird with me.
I understand. I'm just saying, level of guys they've beaten and like.
Let's talk about the number one guy.
You know? Yeah. Number one should be, I think, Islam Makhachev.
Well, because he beat him in the fight.
He beat him in the fight.
And it is funny. The one thing you're thinking about when the fight's over, even though he beat him, like that's what I'm saying. I think Volkanovski gave other guys hope saying, look, man, if he survived down there, they can not only survive, they can get out. He's not going to smoke everybody. He had his back to more than how many rounds? You know what I mean? So I think that's going to get, I'm sure Benil's one of the few guys that wasn't afraid to go to the floor with him. But dude, I think that it's going to even just cement it more in his head that, look, I could best him down there. So that's very, very interesting. Volkanovski, again, I'm a huge Islam fan. But I feel he won that fight. But I do feel that afterwards, I'm still thinking about how that fight ended. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
I was talking about it with Longo. Longo's like, the guy he wasn't even breathing. He goes, fucking Volkanovski. He was like, hey, you know, he was like, he had less damage. I don't know that. Well, they both got, maybe he got a cut. But
yeah.
Was that one, besides that cut, dude, the guy's looked like he was on the fucking beach after, man. He was chilling.
But I did feel like he lost, and Islam did do damage striking. Like his striking was a lot better. And I like Volkanovski said, I think we both kind of caught each other off guard a little bit. Me with the grappling and with resisting the takedowns and getting back up, which was amazing. And then Islam with the striking. So I think Islam should have that. I can't see it, buddy. What is that?
That's a picture of me and those guys from the boiler.
Oh, what were you going to tell me that you were so excited about?
Donlin Brothers Heating and Cooling. Thank you, Donlin Brothers. I appreciate that shit. And so does everybody at Sarah BJJ in Huntington, Long Island. I was going to tell you, Jimmy. Now, listen, Jimmy, let me tell you, I like a good trailer. You know what I mean? A good coming attraction.
Sure.
Something to get the old nipples hard.
Sure.
The new Flash movie. I wish we could watch a watch along, right? You're so mean. Come back. Come back. All right. Listen,
it did look pretty good. I think I did see that, and it did look really good.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
I know that guy might be a kook. I don't know who the star is.
Ezra Miller, yeah. Yeah, I don't care if he said kook.
Dude, how about this?
They're all nuts.
I'm not judging him. He's a great fucking flesh.
Brando is a fucking maniac. One of the best actors in history. Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, man. Shit, yeah, man. So listen, we all get a little kooky sometimes. Jesus. Listen, Jimmy.
Yes, buddy.
Jimmy, come on, man. I'm going to be seeing... Hey, listen, I'm doing some traveling next month, man. I'm going to be in Vegas. And then after Vegas, I'm going to be the next week. I'm going to be home for a day. And then I'm going to be in Boston with Dana White and our good friend Dean Thomas doing a Looking for a Fight. Once you think that show's dead, it comes back. Like you say, Jimmy, it's got more lives than a cat.
It sure does.
You don't say that.
No, I don't. Ever.
Jimmy, tell me what's new with you. I've been yapping about everything with me, my academy, my this or that. Besides the fat black pussycat every Wednesday, what else is new with you?
Just doing the Paramount Theater on March the 4th, and it's really almost sold out. There are very few tickets left. I'm very happy. And that's about it. I've been doing some gigs in the city, working on material. That really is all that's going on.
Jimmy, what would you do without this show?
And I love this show.
Don't say something. Okay. Because I thought maybe you were going to say something sarcastic. And I wouldn't like that.
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, listen, I'm excited for the fights this weekend. That's one. I'm excited that my academy is getting back to somewhat like a normal fucking situation. I mean, dude, it was a goddamn disaster, Jimmy.
Yeah.
A damn disaster. You know what? People are still there. They're still training. They need that place. I mean, they need that for their sanity, you know?
Yeah, I think so too. And when something like that is there and then it gets taken away, people are like, what the fuck? All right, listen, we're here yapping, chatting up from our guest, Jesus Trejo, our first guest. Jesus Trejo is in the waiting room. Let's bring him in. And Corey will be on in just a bit. I never know what time people are scheduled for, so they just kind of let us know when they're in the waiting room.
I like that fun. Let's go.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Here he is. Hello, Jesus.
Hey, man.
Hello, good morning. How are you guys?
Nice to meet you. How you doing?
So
great.
Good morning.
Good to meet you.
So good morning. So I'm assuming you're in, where are you, LA?
Yeah, Los Angeles.
There you go. Yes.
Are you guys on New York time?
Yeah, well, we're both in New York. Yeah, we're in New York right now.
Were you raised in LA or did you move there?
Long Beach, born and raised.
It's funny, most comics out there are from other places. They're local. Yeah, you're one of the rare local. It's like a Vegas local. You don't meet many guys that actually grew up and live in Vegas full time.
That's true. Yeah, I'm the rare LA local, Long Beach, born and raised.
Where'd you start? Oh, yeah. Sorry, Matt. You started in LA or did you start on the road?
No, I started out here in Long Beach and then I kind of cut my teeth down at the Comedy Store. So I was a door guy there for a long time. I parked cars and maintenance work there at the club and, you know, put in the time there until I got like passed back in September 7, 2012.
Okay.
I always hear about that. Oh, this one worked as the door guy. This one worked at the, and then they got their way to the stage.
Yeah.
What if Jesus, you're a competent guy. What if you're a complete moron and you're just funny and you can't drive a car and you can't be a doorman. You're too little. And you're like, can I do something? What do you do? Can I sweep up?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they'll find something for you to do. It's like, you know, there's a Cedars where, you know, people buy the tickets, you show them to their seats. I mean, it doesn't get easier than that. If you can't do that, I mean, you know. Yeah, I parked cars for a while, and I learned how to drive stick shift on that parking lot. So a lot of guys hated me. But, hey, that's life.
Eleanor Kerrigan was a waitress at the store for many years. And she's doing great as a comic now. It is weird how people start out. And when you were at the door, had you already done stand-up? Or like Patrice started as a door guy. I think he was at one of the places in Boston. He was working the door. Did you know you were going to do stand-up? Or were you doing it and going like, hey, I kind of like this?
No, I hung out there for like about a year until like I was begging to get a job there. Because I knew that was like a way of getting stage time. And, you know, it was, you know, me hanging out for a year. And then finally I got... there was a spot that opened up and I got to be a door guy, and I basically cover shifts for like a whole year. Any job that the guys didn't want, the maintenance job, the cleaning the bathroom job, the parking lot job. And eventually, you know, you work your way through until you get past. But yeah, I went there with wanting to be a door guy and then knowing what the end game was. It wasn't fun at times, but it was some of my fondest memories and stand-up happened during that time. And it was great to build camaraderie with comics and, you know, get to meet all the headliners that would come through. I think that's a big deal.
Well, now, I'm always fascinated meeting comics because I think it's similar in some ways with my life, in a sense where, in guys that I came up with in the fight game, where like when you're coming, it's one thing when you're established and you did some stuff, and like where you're right now. I see you're 37, and you know, people are looking. You got the thing over there on the Showtime and the thing on the Netflix. I said Netflix, right? Were you on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought I read that. Okay. I thought I read that. Sorry. So now it's easy to be like, oh man, Jesus made the right decision. Again, you know, I accomplished some shit in my field. But when you first, I want to hear about when you first let your family know or the people, your friends, hey man, I might want to be a comedian, because come on, man. Just like a fighter, man. You get some of the same looks.
Yeah, now that I think of it, I guess it could be some of the same responses, because it's like, you know, my parents come from Mexico. They worked their ass off to come here and work hard. And, you know, I go to college, you know, I graduate. And then my dad's like, great. You know, it's like, you're the first, like my parents don't have any schooling whatsoever. So they're like, this guy has a college degree. This is great. And then what are you going to do? I'm going to go park cars at the store. He's like, you're an idiot. And he's not wrong. You know, he's not wrong, but it's like, it almost gives you like a sense of urgency to, you know, prove your dad wrong and, you know, be able to kind of hold your weight and take care of your parents. At least in my case, that was my sense of urgency. I'm like, I know this sounds bad, like on paper, but I'm going to work hard and you guys are going to be taken care of. And luckily they've come around, I think, for the most part. Yeah, we're working on it.
Where'd you go to school and what was the major?
I went to school at Cal State Dominguez, out here, like in between Carson, Compton area. My major was impacted here at Cal State Long Beach. So I transferred over because I wanted to graduate right away. It was a great school. My major was marketing, business administration. And then I went with the marketing concentration. And, you know, a lot of the stuff I tell my dad, what else am I going to say? I was like, I still use some of that stuff I learned, you know?
You don't, though. Of course not. Although maybe some of the marketing, but hasn't the marketing changed in the last 10 years with social media and all that shit? It's probably not even the same as the stuff they taught you.
You know what's interesting? Only like, I'd say like 5% of what we learned was applicable to this day, because back in that time, this is like, I don't know, 2009, 2010, maybe. Yeah, 2009, like upper division courses that were talking about like internet marketing and that kind of stuff. So they were touching on it, but it's nothing like what it is today. But yeah, it's like, I can't imagine, Matt, what was that like when you're like told your folks, hey, I'm gonna make this my career. This is it.
Yeah, well, it's probably different. I didn't go to college like you. They knew I was a psychopath. I had some issues as a kid, and they knew, oh man, this is keeping them, at least this is like a sanctioned, you know.
Yeah, comment. You can get paid for hitting somebody, not arrested. Yeah.
My Henzo Gracie Academy in Manhattan, that was my college, you know. They were happy though. My father was a retired NYPD, and he ended up getting a black belt too on the Henzo. And so he went into martial arts. So yeah, my father, you know, he loved the field I chose, you know. But I did, when I was coming up doing, I felt like I was winning, just making money, just doing private lessons and you know, doing a course at Columbia, teaching a jiu-jitsu course up there, and like just do making money and living off of jiu-jitsu was a, I still feel like I'm winning doing that. Wow. I do it today at 7 a.m. class. So I'm in love with just being able to do what I love for a living. So, but yeah, I got some weird looks. And I told Jimmy before, there'd be people coming in the afternoon class, like in the city. All right, well, this is fun for now, but you know, sooner or later, you got to get a real job. Right. Here I am, years later with Jimmy, still don't got a real job.
Never killing had. It, killing it. How long right. were you training with Enzo?
Well, I was with, I became Enzo's first American black belt. I was with Enzo since he got off the boat, so they say. When Enzo came over, he was partnered up with Craig Kukuk, who was originally the first American ever to get a black belt under the Gracie family. Wow. And then he was with Horion and Hoyce and them. They kicked him out of the school in Torrance. They had issues. He partnered up with Enzo.
Was that still the garage? Over.
What's that?
Was that still the garage, the school where yeah. they kicked him out of?
No, I believe I don't know when Craig started, but I know he got the black belt from, I think, the Elio and Hoyler in Brazil. But he learned from Horion Gracie and the Gracie, Hoyce Gracie in Torrance, at the Torrance Academy, you know. And then they had a business thing, fell apart, they didn't get along. But I knew he did jiu-jitsu already. So he was the first one in New York. I learned from him. He was in New Jersey. I took a class from him. And then Enzo came over, partnered up with him. And then they had a, this, you know, then they, you know, like people do, they had a split up. I went with Enzo because Enzo was just, we got along from day one. He took me under his wing, and here, now I'm hanging out with Jimmy and you. So it's great. Yeah. Thank God for Enzo, Master Enzo Gracie.
You talk about schools like that, like the Gracies and, you know, so many other academies, it almost feels like, like the only thing I can liken it to in comedy, it's like the improv or the comedy store, at least in LA, you got Bud Freeman and Mitzi, you know, God rest their soul. But it was like two different camps. It's kind of like what you're saying now. And I'm obsessed with the whole jiu-jitsu world. I don't know. I don't know the inner workings, but I'm fascinated. I took some classes at the Ooh. At the Torrance Academy not too long ago, and man, that is so great. I mean, those guys are the real deal, man.
Why'd you stop?
Yeah, it got kind of pricey and that kind of thing. I wasn't in a position to take that on, but I'm definitely going back, man. It's like I had such a great time. You learn so much, and
yes.
It just those guys are real deal, man.
And I heard you've been watching this since like the beginning, the UFC. Is that true?
Yes. You know, I think it started with like my dad and I watching like, you know, backyard brawls, you know, it's like, you know, rest in peace, Kimbo Slice. I remember whenever there was like a new fight coming out, I wait for my dad to get home. And I'm like, Dad, there's a new one. I haven't watched it, you know? And it was kind of like, it felt like I was getting away with something. Cause it felt like my dad was going to be like, you can't watch that. But he was like so into it that he's like, all right, let's just watch it this one time, you know. So it was great, you know, following it then. But early on UFC, where you know, it's like you see guys going in there with a full on gi, and you know, it's like different weight classes. It's like,
oh, it was crazy.
How often do you go? Sorry, Matt. How often do you go to fights?
I've been to a fight once.
Oh, only once.
Yeah, I only went to a fight once. It was in New York. I was opening for Bert Kreischer. Yeah, he's such a great dude, man. And, you know, I got to tour with him quite a bit. And this particular weekend, it was, like UFC 268 at Madison Park. Square Garden.
Oh, the Garden.
Yeah, yeah. It was Covington 2 with Usman.
Oh, okay.
And, man, it was great, man. There's nothing like it. I mean, that is next level. I want to go more, but, yeah, that was my first and only experience.
Did Bert go with you?
Yeah, it was Bert. I mean he was he headlined their Madison Square Garden, and afterwards once the show was done, they walked him over to the fight, and they had some seats reserved for him, and I got to tag along. I mean I didn't expect it. Yeah, we got to tag along. We went through like the backstage area kind of thing, and it was like, I mean, you're teleported back to your, you know, like wrestling days and early, like you see the backstage, you're like, my God. Yeah. I saw Rose taking a picture back there. I'm like, are you kidding me?
And you keep expecting someone to go, like, no matter what laminate I have, I'm fucking so low self-esteem at every backstage, even with comedians. I'm like, I'm going to get kicked out. I don't belong here. I always try to act like I belong there, even when I do, but I don't feel like I do, right? There's always an area you're not supposed to be in. It's uncomfortable being backstage.
Yeah, it's a lot going on, and you almost feel like you have this, you know, out in Long Beach, we call it a shot clock. You know, it's like, keep it moving. There's something about to pop off right now. You see all these guys, like, yeah, it's like, you know, tensions are running high back there. So it's like, you expect something to pop off at any second, but man, it's like, I'm just a nerd about it. So I'm just like pointing at people from a distance, waving at them. I don't know if the guys like it or not, but man, I was so excited to be back there.
I think they're used to it.
Thanks to Bert, man. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Bert's a great guy, man. I imagine touring with him is fun. Do you drink?
A little bit, not too much. Yeah.
Not like Bert.
No. Bert's a professional. He's a machine for sure.
Did you guys do a bus?
Yes, it was a bus tour. So I got to experience a couple legs of the tour. And I happened to be on that one. And yeah, New York. I love New York. And yeah.
How does that work with a bus tour? I know it's basically you go on a bus and you travel, but
yeah.
How is it comfortable? Are you sleeping through the night on that bus? Is it like a rock band bus? I mean, how does this work? Like, what kind of bus are you in? Like,
I mean, it's a big bus. I mean, he got one of those presidential looking buses. So it was like awesome. I learned something. I didn't know this. Jim, you probably like toured on buses before, but
never.
So apparently you got to put your feet towards like pointed in the towards the front of the bus. And wow. Just in case the bus has to like slam on their brakes, you don't break your neck.
Ah, yeah.
That made total sense. I never knew that was a thing. So yeah, your feet are always pointed in the direction of the front of the bus.
You know what? I never heard that, but it makes sense.
Yeah, it was like, yes, of course. You know, once they told me, but I didn't know that. I was like, yeah. So that was fun.
So were you guys bunked up in the front? Sorry, Matt. Were you guys bunked up in the front and then Bert had like a king bed in the back?
No, he was with us in the bunks. Everyone had a different bunk. There's like a stack of three bunks on each side, and there's a big space in the back. So it was, you know, there's room for everybody. But yeah, we all had a little bunk, and you know, you close the curtain, and you know, it's like there's a little light in there. You can read books and that kind of thing.
That sounds like fun, man. And how far are you on a couple? You said a legs of the thing tour. Where, how far did you travel in that bus?
I got to travel with him early on when he did his first bus tour. And then during COVID, I was very lucky to be invited to open for him at the drive-in movie theater. So we did a bunch of that. We were essentially in each other's bubble kind of thing. So that was cool. And then I did some more dates after that with him. So it was great. So different tour. Different leg of the tour.
Didn't they flash the lights at those things like to show laughter, or they beep the horn? What were they doing? Some kind of a physical thing to show laughter.
Yeah, I think at first people didn't know what to do. Like the etiquette had not been established. So I think people were like slamming on the horn. And then after a while, it was like, hey, guys, we can't slam the horn the whole time.
Yeah, it's too much.
So it was like flash your lights kind of thing. And then at the end of it, you know, you can honk your horns. You know, people in that area would complain about like sound and that kind of thing, but yeah, it became high beams after each comic, or if you thought something was funny. So you're out there performing, just getting hit with high beams.
Yeah, that would annoy me. That would drive me fucking crazy. The high beams I would prefer to almost have nothing. But they said when Colin taped, I was out of town when Colin taped this thing for I think it's HBO Max, and DeStefano was the first guy on. And he said it was so fucking weird because there was just no sound coming from the people. I think that threw him, like, you didn't know, it fucks your timing up a little bit when you don't have like the laugh or where the reaction is supposed to be. You're like, do I rush through this or what's my timing supposed to be?
It's so bad because I think like comedy is not supposed to be performed in a vacuum. Yeah. I mean, essentially that's what it is. It's like, you need that seesaw from the audience. And I remember I think one of the first shows on that drive-in movie theater thing. So I walk on stage and I'm like talking, and you know, people can hear you inside their car, but there's like the movie screen on top of the stage where people would normally see them like a movie.
Yeah.
The stage right underneath that, they're recording you and they're projecting it on all screens. There's like probably two on the sides and one up here. So I'm up there performing that kind of thing. And I remember getting off stage going, I don't know what just happened. I didn't hear not one peep. Everyone's in their car. That didn't feel good.
Yeah.
Somebody, like, I started getting some DMs and they're like, hey, don't think you bombed. We just couldn't see you. Like, I guess there was a Fast and Furious movie trailer playing above me, and I'm talking about mustard, bit on mustard. So yeah, so I'll never forget that. It was great. I got a couple of DMs that are like, hey, the mustard joke sounded great, but we couldn't see you. It was a Fast and Furious movie thing.
Well, yeah, even I didn't do any of those shows. But now that it's in the past, aren't you glad you did them, right? Like, you always look back on the shit shows or the weird ones in the career, and you're like, yeah, I'm kind of grateful for that. Like, it makes now seem better because I remember how bad it was then.
Yeah, you know what, Jim? You're absolutely right. It's like a time in comedy that will never, hopefully never happen ever again. And it's like, it's great that we experienced it. And, I was so lucky to be in great company too. So that was like awesome. But yeah, I'm happy I went through it. And yeah, hopefully we don't have to go back to that. I remember doing some shows at the Comedy Store where the comics were inside, in the original room where that glass is.
Yep.
So the comics were inside and we were performing outside to the patio at one point. And it felt like it was like a stand-up comedy claw machine where just audience members are up there just staring at the comic behind the glass. It was painful, but again, it's like I love that I experienced that. I don't want to do it again.
It's like one of those live sex booths, like where you're the girl on the phone and the guy's just jerking off on the glass. I've been in quite a few of those when I was a younger man. They were awesome.
Me and Jesus can't relate to that list.
Right, they were the best. I'm a little older.
No way, we don't know.
And I'll tell you, with the traveling, you get kind of spoiled, no? Like, don't you think it, like, when you used to doing the first in the business class, and then you got something gets booked and it's on coach, you're like,
Yeah.
Matt, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to do like a reading here. So, Jim, you seem like a window seat kind of guy, and Matt, you're definitely like aisle all day.
I am an aisle seat guy because I piss constantly, but I'm doing stand-up for all these years. I started getting more nervous in turbulence. Like, I had gotten over that, and then after the pandemic, I was like nervous to get in turbulence. So I fly out by the window so I can look out and see the wing. It really sucks. I want to see the wing and make sure it's okay.
Oh, I love turbulence. I'm not even going to I'm not even trying to be funny. I love it. I think I got it down where I do this thing where I cross my arms, right? I kind of do this thing and I'm like literally in REM state sleeping before the plane takes off.
Yeah.
And the rocking thing, I feel it. And I know not to wake up and I just ride it through. I love it, dude.
You could fall asleep through takeoff.
Oh yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I got to stay awake.
I wish I had the card. I think the staff, dang it. I don't have it on me, but I was just on the road this weekend and I flew back and, I can only imagine that I was snoring pretty hard or something. Cause on the way out, one of the attendants gave me a card and said, hey, thanks for flying with us. That kind of thing. I hope you enjoyed your ride. It's like, oh, you guys are effing with me, man. It's like, cause I think I was snoring that hard, but I slept the whole way from, Albany, New York, all the way to, Albany to, LA.
Those do you know what a gift that is? Sorry about you. Do you know what a gift that is to be able to sleep like that?
Really?
Oh, I can't sleep on a plane. I mean, with a lay flat bed, I am wide awake. I don't care. I think I fell asleep on the way to Australia, but I can't sleep on a plane ever. I'm wide awake through 90% of the flight.
I think I'm going to have tutorials on how to fall asleep. I'm telling you, this is foolproof. Grab your arms. It's like you tuck them in your armpit area and just bring it down. You're out. You're out. There's no way you're going to like sustain that. I feel like it's like a slow, Matt, correct me on the lingo here, but it's like a slow, like kind of taking the back choke. Yeah.
I would do that, but me being a sweaty, a little Italian, yeah, man, I'm going to be like that character from the fucking SNL. I'm going to be like, I don't think it's going to be a good, I don't want my hands in my armpits.
And all I can do right now is I'm feeling a pair of tits as I sit like this. It's very uncomfortable.
Not a nice pair.
No, not at all. My own fucking awful no push-up tits. It's frustrating. I envy that, dude. Rich Voss is like that. And I know that no one ever wants to be compared to Rich Voss. He's not a good person. But Voss can sleep in the middle of an earthquake. And that is such a blessing to be able to do that because you conserve energy. You can sleep and then go and do a roast or whatever it is you're flying in to do. It really ruins my life not sleeping. You're very lucky, dude.
I think the asterisk here is that it's not a good sleep. Yeah, I mean, because you're still uncomfortable. You know, your butt sore from like sitting in a weird angle. I'm 6'3". Sure. So my knees are like touching the front of the seat. So, but it's like, but I can knock out, and I think that sleep is it's helpful at least. But yeah, I'm out. I got it down to a science.
Now, Jesus, before we have to move on because we have Corey Sanhagen's in the waiting room. But before you go, what can we plug for you? Where are you going to be, and how can people keep up with you?
I'm going to be at the Pittsburgh Improv at the end of the month. Tickets are on sale right now. I'll be in Seattle after that. I'll be in the La Jolla Comedy Club doing the weekend, first week of March. Tickets are online at JesusTrejo.com. And also, I got this really cool children's book coming out. It's based on father and I. I grew up working with my dad. My dad's a landscaper. It's a very funny, cool story of just, you know, a little kid working with his dad. And pre-sale's out now. It comes out on Father's Day. June 6th is the official release date.
So. Oh, nice, man.
Yeah, I hope
Pop you guys. Papa's Magical What a Jug Clock. Now, the kid looks like he's liquored up. Now, that's not alcohol in that jug, is it?
No, that's just me. I always look that way. So that's me. That's my pops.
And, that's cute.
Yeah, so it just a little kid working with his dad. It's a really cool story. I hope you're able to get it for the little kid in your life out there, loved one. So thank you guys so much for having me.
Yes, pleasure, man. Good talking to you.
Back again for sure, man. Thanks, Jesus. It was really nice to meet you, man.
Yeah, good talking to you, Jesus.
You guys are the best. Take care.
All right, be good, buddy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
And we have Corey Sanhagen. Let's bring Corey right in. He's, I guess, was driving or doing what he was doing today. It's. I like Jesus, though. I like hearing about guys on the road, bus stories and all that shit. I've never done any of that stuff.
Yeah, why not, though? What do you got against a bus thing?
I'm too busy with radio. It's kind of hard to do. Hey, Corey, how you doing?
What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
I'm very good, buddy.
Corey, it's been a minute, like the kids say, man. What's up, bro? How you been?
I know. I've been good. How you guys been?
You look on weight. You look like you're...
I just got done working out for a couple hours, so I'm drinking right now. I'm drinking some water.
And again, when is your fight with Cheeto? Sorry, buddy.
March 25th.
Okay, so you have time.
But it got pushed back, yes?
Yeah, it was supposed to be this weekend, and then they moved it to March 25th. I don't really know why, to be honest with you. I think it had something to do with like they needed to start selling tickets. And they didn't have a main event. And then so we filled that main event slot. And I think it also had to do with the people just wanting us to be in an arena so they could come and all of that jazz.
And you also, before the show, we're talking about you, and you had said you would be willing to follow Aljo up. I'm guessing if he moves up, is that because you want that one back? You want another shot at Aljo?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's like quite a ways in the future. So, sure. Or at least, you know, like 2024, 2025, maybe. I definitely want to like do some damage in this division first, but yeah, I mean, I think that would be like a really gigantic fight in the future. If I continue to do well and Aljamain continues to do well, that could be like a fight that the people want to see. And I could definitely see that being like a really big opportunity for the both of us to, you know, cash in on a big fight.
Go ahead, Matt. Sorry,
Jimmy. I was just going to say, man, a fight they want to see is that your next fight, man.
Yeah.
Main event versus Marlon Chito Vera. I mean, that on paper, that just sounds, I know it's the game we're in, but it sounds so violent. You guys together. I mean, you can't ask for a better dance partner. You know he's coming forward. I mean, what do you think when you got matched up with Cheeto?
Yeah, I was happy about it. I think I do well against guys like Marlon, like the heavy hitter, stationary, planted on the floor type guys. I do really well against those guys. I've that's kind of been, you know, I know, like, almost like my antagonist in my life is that type of fighter, and then also like the wrestler archetype type of fighter. So so I've like spent years and years and years preparing for like those types of guys, because I know that those are the guys that are the more difficult guys to beat. So I like it, you know. Like I said, I think that I just do really well against like the grounded type of archetype striker type dude.
What do you think he's expecting from you?
Good question. I think that he's probably looking at my last fight and probably assuming that I'm gonna, you know, mix in the wrestling a little bit, because that is something that I kind of added in the last couple of years. I think that he's likely, Cheeto does a really good job hitting people on exits. You know, that's how that's how he caught Dom. With Frankie, he wasn't catching Frankie on exits, but because Frankie keeps his hands a lot tighter, but he does a good job at like the stab kicks and the push kicks and stuff to keep people from moving forward. He tries to get them to exit, and then he tries to hit people on exit. So my assumption is my guard is a little bit different with my hands. Like, I usually have one arm out. And I kind of like, I'm not like a hand super tight to the face guy. So my guess is he's going to try to pin me against the cage and then hit me on some type of exit thing. But, I don't, you know, like, I'm prepared for that. And I keep my hands up a lot better than Dominic Cruz does. So I think it's just, you know, I'm prepared for that, which he does really, really well, but I think I'm prepared for that.
You know, he's been on a winning streak as of late, but man, I feel your confidence should be equally as high. I'm looking, besides Aljo, which was a definitive loss, the other fights, man, you can look at that split decision with TJ, and you can look at your fight with Peter Yan. It's like, man, you can make cases for both fights. I mean, it's not like, well, you know, I'm doing my, I won that last one, a couple of the other ones, I took some bad beatings, not remotely. So, I mean, how is your head now, I mean, with that? You, I mean, not to mention you got your, you got the monkey off your back with the last win.
Yeah.
But those other two losses, I'm sure you took stuff from them. But did you really feel you were bested?
No, definitely not. To be honest with you, yeah, I'm not like an excuse guy. Like, I don't really like, I don't, that just like makes me uncomfortable doing all of that stuff. But, you know, TJ, I definitely had like an argument for winning that fight, considering I did like a significant more damage to TJ than he did to me in the fight. But that's fine, you know, like, I'll brush that one off. Against Jan, kind of took it on like 5 weeks, which is like half the amount of time that I typically have to get ready for that. And then Jan just being like a really kind of tricky guy to like do damage on. But my confidence after those two isn't really shaken up. I'm more of like a rational thinker. I don't look at just like the wins and losses. I think I was doing super well against Petr Yan until I got dropped, and then like my legs stopped working in the fourth round. So, you know, like, what the hell can you do about that? Don't get dropped with like some spinny crazy shit. And then like, I think I go home with the belt that night, but no, man, I'm fine. You know, honestly, I think that my last fight was the fight that I felt probably the most pressure to win, because three L's in a row,
yeah,
no matter what they are, is really a big deal. You know, like, you can't have that happen. So I was able to go against Song, who is incredibly fast and like a super athletic guy. In the future, that fight is going to, well, where I'll be a guy that beats Song. I do think Song is going to, you know, crack the top five in the next couple of years, no doubt. And I'll have a win over him. And yeah, man, I focus on just getting better every day. I mean, I'm not really giant on the whole, like, what people are talking about and who's hot and who's not. Like, I really consider myself like a martial artist. I just try to get better every day, and that's where I keep most of my attention.
You had those after that second loss, you had 11 months off before you came back and won against Song. What was that like for you, those 11 months? Was there something that you kind of wanted to reset on, or was there something in your head that you wanted to kind of get straight, or was it just something, you had something booked and it got canceled?
I kind of had a few busy, that year was really busy for me. So I think I fought Frankie that year, and then I was scheduled to fight TJ. He pulled out 2 or 3 weeks before that fight. It had to get rescheduled. So, and then I fought Jan right afterwards. So it was essentially like a really full-time, like, year full of camps. So I kind of wanted a reset, but I also just wanted to skills develop a lot. Like, I wanted to make sure that I was like, doing that part of the sport too. So I needed 11 months. I also got like a toe surgery during that time too. So that kind of put me out for like a couple months. And the toe like still sucks. So I'm kind of pissed that I got the surgery. I know.
Did it make it worse?
It made it worse for like a little bit, yeah, to be honest. And then now it's like kind of bouncing back a little bit. It feels like a little bit better than it did before surgery, but I think that that's just something I'll live with, so that's fine. But it's not like it's like horrible.
It always sucks when it's a toe, because listen, I know from doing jiu-jitsu for so long, you want to complain about it. You want to be like, this fucking thing is, and then it's like your toe, so you kind of not want to, but you want to. You know what I mean? No, it's not. Listen, you need your feet underneath you, especially you. You're like fucking Achilles out there. So I get it. I'm flat-footed anyway. But fuck, man. It's one of those things where you don't want to bitch about it a little digit, but you are. It is annoying as fuck. All right. That was a waste.
So I had that happen a couple months. And then, yeah, I just wanted to build on my skills. The two things I really wanted to add into my game is an actual wrestling threat that was, like, reliable and not just, like, like a shitty lanky striker trying to like add in stupid shots, you know, like I actually want to be like a legit like wrestling threat offensively. So I wanted to add that in, and then I wanted to add in when guys are like stationary guy, like how Jan is, cutting them up with elbows. And I honestly think that those are the two things that won me the fight against Song. And I kind of use Song as like a fight, a kind of a bounce back fight to practice those things in. And it worked. So I think that I got to like add some new skills to my game, and then just give people more things to worry about for me.
When you're adding a new skill set in, you know, and you're like you said, you want to work on your wrestling. How much time are you putting into that? You're like, all right, I'm doing it a little extra on a Tuesday, or you're like, look, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or whatever. This morning, I'm putting this amount of time in. How was it that you zone in on that area? You just more days a week doing it, basically like that?
Yeah, pretty much. I got really lucky, or I guess our team has gotten really lucky. We have a guy named Carrington Banks who used to wrestle, not for the Hawkeyes, but JUCO in Iowa, who just got done fighting and is now kind of the one of our like main coaches on the team right now. And he's on just like a workhorse. So I get to like, he'll be like, hey man, like you just let me know when you want to like do wrestling, and we'll do wrestling whenever you want. So I get like a lot more one-on-one attention in the wrestling world, which is something that I haven't really had ever in the past. And it's like it's a giant difference when I have like someone working one-on-one with me versus just like learning fucking how to defend singles in a group of class, you know, like can't get super good. So yeah, I've had Banks for like the last 2 years doing that with me. And I really think that because he's just like a workhorse and he'll pretty much work out whenever I ask him to work out, it's helped me like an immense amount.
And where in Texas is this fight?
San Antonio.
Have you been?
No, I never been. I only been to Houston and Austin, I never been to San Antonio. You guys know what it's like?
I've been there for gigs. I don't really remember it being, but again, I'm shit on the road. I don't explore much. I kind of stay in the hotel. And isn't that where the Alamo is? Am I crazy?
I don't know.
If it is, I went and saw the Alamo, which was kind of cool, but it's a weird town. It feels like a lot of them feel like Hartford, Connecticut, where there's like a bunch of big buildings or buildings that like that you must be occupied, but you can't see anybody walking around because it's a Saturday. It's just fucking weird. So yeah.
Jimmy, this question is for you. When you visited the Alamo, did you visit the basement, and did they have Pee-wee's bike back down there? I don't know if you guys saw Pee-wee's Big Adventure, but in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, they go, you know, he's looking for his missing bike, and he went to visit one of those psychics, and she goes, at the Alamo in the basement. Anyway, gang, let's talk back about this main event. Sorry. Hey, you watch any good movies lately? You're not a movie guy. You're a book guy.
I'm a bit of a book guy, man. I get like so damn bored watching TV shows and watching movies, to be honest with you. Like I just cannot muster the focus for like more than 20 minutes when I'm watching something on TV.
That's like Dana, man. Dana doesn't watch anything. Dana doesn't watch any fucking thing. The only series he liked was Kingdom, the MMA one. He liked that. That was a good show, though. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you ever saw that. That was a good
fight. I've never seen it.
It with Frank Grillo. It was good. It was.
You don't get bored reading, but you get bored watching TV?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yep, yep. I don't really know what the hell my problem is, to be honest. Like, I feel like I used to not be like that, but I just cannot watch TV now. But I'm reading Dune right now. I don't know. You guys know Dune?
Sure.
You got it. How is that as a book? It's good.
It's a great book, man. It's a lot less intimidating than I thought. I'm like not the smartest or like best reader in the world. So I was like, fuck, man, like a sci-fi book, that's going to be like impossible for me to keep track of. But it's like, it's actually super easy to follow. And it's like real philosophical. And it's a good book, man. It's long as hell. It's like this thick. But
did you see the movie? Now, not the one in the 80s with Sting, which is a pile of shit. The latest one.
I didn't watch it, and I was thinking about watching it, but I didn't want to until I finished the book.
It's so effing good. It is well done. If you get the director, the same director that did Blade Runner 2049 or whatever it is, and that's also it's an underrated movie, that movie. Underrated. Mm. But it's almost like sci-fi for adults. This Dune movie, and I went in there knowing nothing, not knowing what to expect. It was so damn good.
Nice.
It's one of my favorite movies. You should see that movie. I'm telling you, because it's done so well. Jimmy hates everything. I guarantee, Jimmy, you would like this movie.
I've never seen. Isn't that with Timothy Chalamet?
He's great in it. That's the lead guy, lead kid. The lead kid is great. Josh Brolin. Talk about quotes for fighting and whatnot.
Yeah.
When he's going to train the kid's not in the mood. He's like, what does mood have to do with it? You fight when the necessity arises, no matter the mood. My nipples are getting hard thinking about it. It's fucking great. You got to watch it, Corey. Watch that thing.
That exact quote is actually in the book too. Yeah, man, there's a ton of like really good gems in the entire book that, I'm going to watch it after though. After, because I don't want to imagination of.
I might do, now that you said that, and you said it's not that difficult to read, I might get into that on my iPad. Because listen, to be honest with you, this might surprise you. It's not going to surprise you, kidding. But with you, I only read like 6 books in my life, and they were all the Game of Thrones. I saw the first season. I liked it so much that I wanted to know what happened the second season. So I went right to the second book. And then after I read the second book, I go, you know what? That was so fucking good. I go, let me go back and read the first book. And then I ended up reading the whole series. But this is the trick, Corey. And I'm sure you don't have ADD like myself, but I would get my iPad and I'd make the font real big. So basically I'm reading like 2 or 3 paragraphs. I'm like, otherwise, so it keeps, if it's a book, I might as well just take some NyQuil.
There's too much ahead of you. There's too many words ahead of you. You like to just see a few and then get done with it.
I get a few, like a little gag. Oh, Jon Snow. Oh, the Red Wedding. I went through that shit like crazy. So I am going to delve into this, because the Dune movie was so fucking good. The quote I just gave you, there's more to it. The guy at the end, I don't want to give nothing away because he's reading the book.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so good. Cool. But, all right, Jimmy. What did you have, Jimmy? Jimmy said you're a little naysay, a little bird.
No.
Little Millie.
I'm thinking that I like to see a movie first and then read the book, because this way you're not losing anything. Because the movie, you always lose a lot. So I would rather see the movie and then learn more from the book. Because if you read the book first, then see the movie, a lot of times it doesn't hold up because they take so much out. They have to tell a 2-hour narrative. So I actually prefer to see a movie first. But Dune, I would see and then read.
We got to that's fair. I'll sometimes, honestly, I'll like Wikipedia and like Spark Notes what the book is about, because I'm such a slow reader that it takes me so long that I'll forget chunks. So I'll even be okay with the plot being ruined, because I more or less read the books for like those moments where it's like, what does mood have to do anything with fighting? You know, you fight it, then that's what I read books for. The plots are like fine, you know, but I like all of the stuff in between the plots.
You like those cool moments.
That line.
Yeah.
Now picture Josh Brolin. Josh Brolin playing that fucking role. He was so good in it, man. I forgot the guy's name again. But he's
Jon Snow?
No, it's not Jon Snow.
Oh, okay.
But Joffrey? Gunny. He's Gunny. I think Gunny. But Gunny something. But dude, it's so fucking great, Jimmy. It's one of the, you haven't heard me talk about a movie like you heard me talk about Dune. It's fantastic.
No, that's true. You love it.
I do love that movie. But all right, man.
Yeah. So Corey, look, I guess as time gets closer, maybe we'll talk to you right before, right after this this Cheeto fight. I'm really, really happy this is happening, and you know, good luck, man. If we don't talk to you right before, we'll talk to you right after.
Okay. Cool. Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
Yeah. Always a pleasure, man. Good seeing you, buddy.
Thanks, Corey.
All right. Good seeing you guys too.
Take care.
Take care, brother. Take care.
Bye.
Hey, man, I'm going to get that book on my iPad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's funny, interesting. I should have asked if he's a good meditator because he reads a lot. He's a good guy. I like Corey.
You know where I meditate?
On the toilet.
Well, let's not get graphic. But I'm there a lot. I am there a lot, but I do it in my steam, man. I get to my
screen,
I hit my head straight, and I got a good 20 to minutes, 25 to steam, and I'm melting in there. I'm thinking about what I'm going to teach. I said, what do I want to go over today? Okay. We get stuck in north-south position. The guy's stalling. What do we do? Okay. Okay. And then I get out and I show them how to manipulate the body. You know? Jimmy, you know what I'm really concerned about also? I want to tell you as a friend now that nobody's listening. Oh, everybody's listening. It's my ass, Jimmy. You know what I when I go out, when I go out. Is
a fingernail stuck in it?
Well, no. It's more of, you know, my ulcerative colitis. We're having a hard time getting a fucking appointment, not until April. So I'm going away. And when I go away, I'm a little concerned because, Jimmy, remember what happened to me at Universal Studios?
Yeah.
What? While we're talking, I'm going to look that up because
the guy was giving you a hard time in the toilet. Yeah.
And now, Jimmy, like, I don't want that to happen again. The other day, after my kids' dance competition, we went over to Two Brothers Pizza. Me, my wife, my kids, my sister-in-law, Uncle Edwin, not my uncle, my kid's uncle.
Sure.
My brother-in-law, he's a good man. And so we went over there to have some, they have great Sicilian, great eggplant rolls, two brothers in Hicksville. And this is the problem, though. I felt good, Jimmy. I didn't eat nothing all day so I could eat out and hopefully not have a problem. I had a problem. I had a problem. So, Jimmy, I text my wife when I'm in there. I'm like, look, is anybody out there? Because I might be a minute. She goes, no, it's good. 5 minutes later, I get a text. A line is forming. I go, oh, no.
It's embarrassing.
Line is forming. And guess what? I'm not remotely done.
Let me ask you, are you just not shitting? Is it constipation or is it just nonstop shitting?
A combination of that. It's a one when you're eating and all of a sudden you're like, oh, shit, I have to go. If I don't find something soon, it's going to be like that scene out of Van Wilder. The garbage can. I go, I have to go. So when it's either that or sometimes, oh man, I feel like I have to go. And then you go to go and you're constipated.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's almost like a combination.
Sure.
So you're like, or you get a first of relief and it's first liquid of piss. What do you want me to say? Urination.
Well, get it checked. I'm sure they can give you something. There might be something in your diet.
So rough, Jimmy. I just get concerned because I'm like, man, now I'm gonna be running around doing these things. And I almost like when the people outside the store, it's like, I get it, man. I do get it. If I have to, if somebody's in there, like, what are you doing in there, man? Whacking off, I get it. But if you're the guy in there with the issues, and you also have maybe some fucking other issues.
How much longer were you in there when the line was forming?
I kind of made it quick. And I got out, I go, hey, sorry, gang. I'm trying to look. So, you know, there's a couple guys there, you know. The other time I was at my TRT place and there was another bathroom, it was on a different floor because they were doing construction. And I was in there and then I was finishing up. And this was like the week I got back from Disney. So imagine this. Imagine me having another issue. So I'm out there and all of a sudden, I heard knew somebody was out. I was trying to finish up and I heard him go, oh, Jesus Christ. And I'm like, I go, okay, good. You want to meet him? You're going to fucking meet him. I'm finishing my bath. I'm finishing. And I'm already thinking about what I'm going to say. I'm washing my hands and I was going to let you know, wrong. It ain't Jesus. And I was going to pick up. I was going to fucking open that door. I was angry. And I opened the door and nobody was there. And I'm like, I go, that's, you know what? What am I doing? I know why I'm getting mad because it's kind of rude.
Yeah.
But I can understand their frustration now that I'm thinking about it. But it doesn't matter when you're sitting on the toilet and you're annoyed. All right, Jimmy, let's get back to the show. That was a fucking good 5 minute rant about my ass. Jimmy,
well, let's plug this.
Oh, my ass? Let's plug up my ass, Jimmy. Sorry. Good idea. Go ahead.
Saturday night. ESPN. Let me just see here.
It's Jessica Andrade versus Erin Blanchfield.
It's the prelims start at 4 p.m. and the main card starts at 7 p.m. on ESPN Plus. This is a great fight, Blanchfield against Jessica Andrade. Andrade was a fucking tank in her last fight against Lauren Murphy. So,
You know, to start off that main card, you got the legend from New Jersey.
Jim Miller, yes.
Versus one of the young up-and-comers.
Alexander the Great.
Yeah. Alexander the Great Hernandez hasn't been doing too great lately, and he is really good, really good.
Lost three out of four, like, yeah.
You know what I mean? If he uses the next one, he might have to just change it to Alexander the Good.
Yeah. Yep.
That's not, Jimmy, first of all, wasn't in bad taste and not funny. For two things, it could have been left out, that joke. You try too hard.
It happens. We all make the mistake.
Jimmy, I tried to.
We all do, buddy.
Jimmy, can I give you a, going forward, you're the comedian. I promise you I'll do less jokes.
No. You do as many as you want.
All right. Well, listen, Alexander the Great, he lost a couple, but the fight with Billy Quarantino was a hell of a fucking fight. I know it ended in the second round, but he had his moments in that fight before he got stopped. And he got subbed by Renato Moicano.
Yep. Yeah.
Gives you a lot to worry. Listen, that was 11. Jimmy, I love you.
I love you, pal.
The fights this weekend. I believe that Erin Blanchfield, we didn't make a pick, but we will pick the main event right now.
Yeah, I think
she's going to get it through, and she will get a rear naked choke.
I think she wins, too.
Her jiu-jitsu will come through. And Jessica Andrade's a little tank, so she's probably thinking, I don't think so. I got a good sprawl. I look people up. I dump them when they go for Kimuras, like she did the Thug Bros.
Great fight, man. I'll talk to you this weekend. And tonight, come see me at the Fat Black Pussycat, unless it's sold out.
All right, Jimmy. Everybody, you don't have to train with me, but you really should train. Okay? That's all I got to say. Goodbye, everybody. Love you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Jimmy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.